Genesis chapter 17. Boy, we're screaming through this book. In chapter 16, Abram was 86 years old when his wife, Hagar, the second-class wife, the concubine, had a baby, Ishmael, a baby boy. Abraham was 86 years old, Abram. Now notice in chapter 17, we begin in verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. Now this is the fifth time recorded that God has appeared to Abram. The fifth time. And you will notice, as we study through this just this little bit, nothing has changed. The covenant doesn't change. The promise doesn't change. Nothing new is provided. Notice how God will repeat over and over to you and I the things He wants us to know. Jesus, when He told the parables, He would tell a parable, and He would go on down the road and tell something just like it. So you begin to see a good teacher repeats himself. People say, man, I get tired of some of your teaching. You repeat yourself a lot. I say, we're going to keep doing that until we all get it. And God appears to Abram, 99 years old. Ishmael was born when Abram was 86, which means that Ishmael is now 13 years old. 13 years have gone by. And here's a 13-year-old boy in Abram. And God appears to him and says, I am the Almighty God. The language in the original is El Shaddai. I am El Shaddai. I know that you've probably heard the term. All of you speak Hebrew in your spare time, right? You know, and I'm sure that you toss that around. It literally means I am the all-powerful one. And that is why the King James and some of the other versions would translate it Almighty. He is absolutely all-powerful. Literally, it means the breasty one. You could say it that way. Big chest, strong, power, might. That's what God is saying. I am the all-powerful God. Now, the reason He's saying that is because He's going to follow it up with something. I have promised you something. I am El Shaddai, the all-powerful God. There is nothing that our God cannot do. Nothing. He can do anything. He can see everything. He is everywhere. When we were children, we had to learn the answers to the catechism questions. Where is God? God is everywhere. What does God know? God knows everything. Now, I don't know everything. Are you surprised? Scary when a pastor says he doesn't know everything. People say, what? It's true. So I can't imagine what it's like to know everything. For instance, when I sin, yeah, I do. I know you don't. Come on. When I sin, I am so shocked. Are you? When you sin? I can't believe I said that. Oh my goodness, where did that come from? You said that one, haven't you? Something comes out of your mouth and you go, where does that come from? And then a Christian who loves you goes, brother, out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That came right out of your heart, man. Thank you. I knew that. I didn't mean where did it come from. I meant where did it come from? We're shocked. Do you know God can't learn? Doesn't that sound weird? It's not because he's slow. It's because he knows everything. So far in my life, the things I have been through, the things that have scared me, and I thought, I don't think God has even flinched. Do you? And we're going, oh man, how are we going to get through the, no, look at this, I can't pop it. And God is going, it's okay. How can it be okay? I am El Shaddai. I am the all-powerful God. Relax. Jesus says this. Don't let your heart continue to be so agitated, so troubled. John chapter 14. King James says, let not your heart be troubled. The original language means you're upset, you're upshook. Calm down. Don't let your heart be so troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, he says. It's all right. I'm El Shaddai, the all-powerful, the almighty God. Whew. And so, because I am El Shaddai, Abram, here's what I want you to do. You walk before me. And be thou perfect. In the language that you and I would use today, God says, I am the all-powerful, the almighty God. Therefore, walk in front of my eyes, right where I can see you at all times. Of course, God can see you at all times. In other words, literally, therefore, you walk in my presence. Realizing, Abram, that every place you go, everything you say, and every way you turn, right here in my presence, I see. You walk before my face. And I want you to literally, well, let me use his language first, be perfect. Literally. Be mature. Be solid. Be sincere. Be completely whole. Have all that you have in integrity. What's God saying? Well, it's easy because you and I cheated and read the chapter before. They just had a baby 13 years ago. That wasn't what God had intended, was it? That was of the flesh. Sarah came up with this great, Sarai, came up with this great plan. And it's logical, and it's legal, and everybody's doing it, but it wasn't God's will. So God, 13 years now, and God says, I am El Shaddai, the all-powerful, almighty God. You need to walk before my face, in my presence, and you need to be solid. You need to be sincere, mature, complete. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, the same promise as in chapter 16, as in chapter 15, the same promise. He says, you walk before me, the all-powerful, the almighty God, in front of my face, in my presence, and you be strong, be solid, be perfect, mature, complete. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. The word covenant, although we've talked about it before, I'll kind of remind you of it. The word covenant in this chapter is used 13 times, just in this chapter alone, 13 times. The word covenant means pledge or treaty, if you want to use human terms, agreement, alliance. God says, I will make my covenant between you and me. And I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. That's in worship. And God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." My covenant between you and me. My pledge. My alliance. Agreement. My covenant between you and me. And God says, you will be a father of many nations. Now listen closely. You have a 13-year-old son. Well, not you and Sarai, your wife, but you and Hagar, your second-class wife, the concubine, the servant girl of your wife. Remember, through that amazing plan that she hatched that caused her already heartache and grief. And you remember that. If you don't, just go back and briefly read the chapter right before this, chapter 16. You'll see the trouble it caused her. Now God comes along and says, you will be a father of many nations. If you were Abram at that moment and you fell down and you worshiped God, you'd be thinking, all right, Ishmael, man, he's going to grow up to be a good guy. And he's going to, this is, oh man, God's going to do it. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram. Verse 5 says, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Abram means high father, or another way to say it would be exalted father. You know, you must feel funny when you meet people. You're in your 80s. Matter of fact, at 85 years old, people come up to say, can we use your well? You say, sure, you're welcome to it. And they're watering their camels or whatever, and they stop and talk, and the guy says, well, I come from up here, and my name is John, and what's your name? And he goes, I'm Abram. And, oh, exalted. Oh, how many children do you have? None. Oh, exalted father. What, was somebody playing a joke on you? Great name. 85 years old and you're an exalted father. You don't have any kids, huh? Yeah, you can see him laughing now. God says you'll no longer be called Abram, but you'll be called Abraham. So from exalted father, God changes his name to father of a multitude. My goodness. That's a huge promise. Abram's 99 years old now. That means his wife Sarai is 89 years old. There's this 13-year-old boy, Ishmael. So you know what Abram's thinking. Well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. That was of the flesh, wasn't it? How many times, you have to raise your hand. Do you and I try to help God keep his promise by saying, okay, well, God's promise, if I do this, and if we do this, I mean, we could sell these three things and we could, you know, God promised he's going to provide. And so, you know, if we take our shoes and now remember, at this time, Abraham has one son, 13 years old. So a father of a multitude doesn't really seem to fit Mr. Abraham. But in faith, from this moment on, in faith, from today on, he will go by the name of Abraham as opposed to Abram. In faith, he will be called father of a multitude. Verse 6 says, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Kings will come from you. Abraham, father of a multitude, kings I will make you the father of many nations. And I want you to notice something in this verse. This is in these two verses I just read you, which are very, very important. They're key to understanding what comes next. And what, by next, I mean chapter 18 of Genesis, all the way through to Revelation 22, 21. All the way through. Because people have misunderstood or ignored this verse, and they've built theology that's incorrect. Notice what we read here. This covenant that God makes between Father Abraham, Abraham, the father of nations, kings will come from him. This covenant between you and me and between your seed and me, notice God says, it is an everlasting covenant. So the question obviously arises, how long is everlasting? Because the doctrines today that teach that God is finished with Israel completely, that is a common doctrine. And that the church basically has taken the place of Israel, and now we are Israel. And you really get into some messed up theology, and it really does flip and mess up eschatology, the study of end times things. It really messes up your end times scenarios, and soon you've got a big mess going on. For instance, some people who think that God is finished with Israel think that we're already through the book of Revelation. We're finished it. All the seals have been opened, and we're now living in a time of the millennial reign of Christ. When I read about the millennial reign, it sounds better than this. Much better than this. Yet some people say, well, gotta be, because God's finished, and then AD 70 and Titus and the Roman Legion, we go to, and you think, where are you getting this? Where are you coming? How can you? Someone asked me an email just today, how is it that people can read the Bible and come up with 7 or 8 different interpretations? And I answered back and I said, it's impossible. You can't. You can come up with what you want it to say. You can come up with what you wish it said. You can come up with what it doesn't say, but you can't interpret it too many ways. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, there is no way to misinterpret that. You've got to begin to say, well, he didn't mean the way. I mean, although he said that, sure, what he meant was, I am Thursday. Really? Yeah, because if you move a letter, if you count 5 spaces over, move a letter, flip it upside down, it's Thursday. And you go, oh, wow, dude. How long? Don't make me laugh. How long is everlasting? Till someone messes up? How long is it? I'll make an everlasting covenant between me and you. How long is everlasting, Lord? Till you make me mad. You make me mad, that's it. Is that what God said? Everlasting. Till someone disobeys. Till someone says, okay, I've changed my mind. I don't even think I like you anymore, God. And God says, oh, okay, well then I'm calling off the deal. I'm calling off the covenant. You hurt me deep. I've changed my mind. That's not how God works, is it? You see, we serve a God who is El Shaddai. He is the all-powerful one. And in him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God will not tell you, here's the way to life. And then when you get that close to it, say, forget that. It's this way now. But I've been going. God doesn't change. We do. God doesn't change. See, everlasting, I believe, means everlasting. There's no other way to interpret it. He says, I'll be your God, and I'll be the God of your children. Let me read you the verse again just to make sure I'm, you read it, to make sure I'm not making this up. I will establish, verse 7, my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to thy seed after you or after thee. Now, who is the seed of Abraham? Well, Abraham was going, cool, all right, that's, we got Ishmael over here, that's cool. That's what I'd be thinking. What would you be thinking? I have no other children. Got Ishmael. Okay, Lord, I trust you, I believe. You think he's thinking that? Or you think I'm making this up? Watch. Oh, let me ask you this before we go on. Let's think it through. Is God still the God of Israel today? If he said it's an everlasting covenant, is he still the God of Israel? Let's do this if you think yes. This if you think. I see the nose. I can't. He is still the God of Israel. But many of them don't even believe there is a God. Did you know that? Many of the children of Israel who are in the land today, and there are many still scattered throughout the world, but in the land today, many of them are atheist, the Greek, without. They are without a God. They don't believe in God. Now, they don't worship God, and they don't care about God. But do you notice something? That doesn't change God. Isn't that, aren't you glad? And I'll go, whew. It doesn't change God, does it? I have made a covenant. I have made an agreement with you. It's everlasting. It's between me and you. I am El Shaddai. You walk before me in my presence. You become solid. You become secure. You grow up, become mature, be perfect. I will keep this covenant with you. And it is an everlasting covenant. Even today. Because God doesn't change. His covenant's everlasting. Verse 8. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, and the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. I'm going to give it to you as a what? What am I giving to you? Well, this covenant, this everlasting covenant, but also I will give you this land. What land? This land of Canaan. And you'll see the boundaries. We've sort of seen them, but you're going to see the boundaries as we go through Scripture. It's a big piece of property. It goes all the way from that river, the big river in Egypt, all the way over to the great river Euphrates, which is where Iraq is today, Babylon, and all those cities there. That's a huge piece of territory. Israel has never, not ever come close to that yet. I mean, they are being squeezed into a little bitty tiny piece of what they're on right now. I will give to you and your children, you and your seed, all the land of Canaan. Now, listen closely. God says, and I've been reading it to you, but let's just pull it out. Bring it up. I will. He says, I will make you exceeding fruitful. Who said that? El Shaddai, God, all powerful, almighty God. I will make you exceeding fruitful. I will make you or make an everlasting covenant. I will give you this land and also to your children. I will. The man comes to Jesus and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. I know you could do anything. I believe you are God. And if you will, you can make me whole. And what does Jesus say? I will. That's what I want. God says, I will. Listen closely. As you read through the rest of Scripture, the Old Testament, as you and I go through it together, you're going to see that God will tell his children, the children of Abraham, the children of Israel, that he's going to put them out of the land three times. He tells them before it happens. because of their own rebellion, because of their own disobedience, he's going to put them out of the land three times. One time, they'll go into Egypt. Then the next time, they're going to go into Babylon. And the third time, they are going to be scattered throughout the entire world. That's what the Bible says. That's what God himself says. And he promises to bring them back three times. He brought them out of Egypt, back into the land. He brought them out of Babylon, back into the land. And he has brought them and is bringing them now from scattered all around the earth back into the land. Listen, did you hear what I said? I didn't say it, he did, but did you? All right, let's do the math. Three times they were out. That's all they're going to be out. That's what God said, those three times. Three times they're back in, they're going back in. Guys, they're never leaving it. Didn't we just read it? Let me read it. I will give unto you and to your seed, verse 8, after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. It's their land, you guys. I know I am hearing Christians debate and say, it's not theirs. That's given to them way back in the book of Genesis. Way back before this chapter. Go back and read. As soon as we meet Father Abraham. He was called Abram back then. Finally, they changed his name. Father of a multitude. This is a covenant between you and me forever. It's everlasting. I'll give them this land till the land is gone. How about that? They're going to return. I think the return began back in 1948, this third return. They're not all back yet, but more and more all the time. You're living in the day where you're seeing the final return. They won't be driven out again. Oh, you know what's coming. The great day of the Lord, which is a terrible day. Although some teach that has already passed, I believe Jesus made it perfectly clear that it would be future. And it's still coming. It's going to be here soon. Look at verse 9. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore. When you see therefore, you look and see what it's there for, right? Because of what I just told you now. Thou shalt keep my covenant. You and thy seed after thee in their generations. Everyone, you're going to follow along. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every child, a man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. Okay, now listen closely or you're going to get this confused and you're going to see why people fight about this. So listen closely and see what God said. This is the token. Now, when was the covenant? After circumcision or before it? Tell me. Before it. The covenant has already been made. You remember when they split the animals and God walked through them? Of course, Abraham slept through that too. You remember? The covenant has already been promised. It's already guaranteed. Now you've got a token. So let me see if I can put it in the language that makes sense. Circumcision is the physical sign of the covenant between God and the children of Abraham. Okay, that makes sense? Circumcision is the physical sign of the covenant between God and Abraham and Abraham's children. They didn't get circumcised in order to receive the promise, did they? No, they received the promise. And because of that, they got circumcised. All right, am I making sense to you? It's important for you to understand that fact. Because then we bring it up to a spiritual lesson for you and I. Spiritually speaking, listen closely. Spiritually speaking, circumcision to the Jewish people occupies the same position as good works do to the Christian. Am I making sense to you? Or am I going too slow? Here's what I mean. We don't do good works to be saved. We are saved by grace, and therefore we go and do what? Good works. Things that please the Father. You don't get circumcised and that causes the covenant. God made the covenant with his people, and because of that, the males then would be circumcised as a symbol that that covenant is understood and ongoing. We don't do good works to be saved. We are saved by grace through faith, and we go from that point to do good works, to worship the Lord, to follow him. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. But those don't save us. Now, you see how people get into the arguments. You see how people, oh, no, no, it's this. You got to be circumcised or you can't be saved. You have to do good things. You can't be. If you don't tithe or speak in tongues, you can never be saved. And you see, they're not understanding. You're not even grasping what grace really is. Jesus Christ died on the cross and said, "Tetelestai, it is finished," literally paid in full. There is nothing for you and me to add to that. We can't take away. We can't add to it. Jesus did it all. So what do I do? What do you do? What do we do? We come to Jesus humbly. We open our hearts, say, "Take my life." And from that moment on, we serve our Lord. Are we trying to get saved? Are we trying to get him to love us? No, we learned he loved us. While we were still enemies, he died for us. For God so loved the world, people, you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son. So God's teaching us already what's coming by teaching Abraham, Father Abraham here, about this circumcision. Verse 14. Oh, no, I'm sorry, verse 12. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with the money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. It's an outward sign of what has already taken place in the heart. As you and I would say, is baptism. An outward sign of what has already taken place in our hearts. I died and have risen again with Jesus Christ, Paul says in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that baptism, when you see the person go under the water and come back up, they've died and risen again with Jesus. It's not the water that did it. It's already taken place in their heart. It's not the circumcision that did it. The covenant has already taken place. That's what God's pointing out. God made the covenant with Abraham and his people. Now they would become circumcised as a sign, an outward sign that they belong to the Lord. As a sign that they were children of Abraham and therefore children of the promise, children of the covenant. Verse 14 says, "And the uncircumcised," key verse here, "the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant." All right, you may think, why is verse 14 in there? I mean, what a silly thing to say. No, 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 that's very good news. Very good news, because we learn spiritual lessons by what we're reading here. I'll show you what I mean. Here we see those that disobey, those that choose not to. I don't want to circumcise my children, or I don't want to be circumcised. No, we're not going to do that. What God says is this. The whole nation isn't forgotten. It doesn't break the covenant with the nation. It's that individual. Those that choose to obey, those that choose to go another way, that person has broken the covenant and is put out. But the covenant remained intact. Do you see? Does it make sense to you? God says the covenant remains, but the individual can choose to not be a part. Now think about today. just bring it up to today. When you and I share with others, Jesus loves you. And He died for your sins. And He loves you. And His arms are wide open. And He invites you to come. Everyone who is thirsty, come. Drink of the waters freely. Without money, without charge. Come. All you that labor and are heavy laden, come. I'll give you rest. Come to me. And you've heard people say, no thanks. I don't want it. Haven't you? I've had people say, no, I'm not interested. Listen closely. When some people reject the Lord, I've heard others teach, that means Jesus died in vain. I mean, if Jesus died for all, and took upon Him all the sin of the world, and people don't accept Him, that means He died for nothing. No, listen closely. You see, Jesus died for the sin, but if you don't accept, if you aren't interested, it doesn't break the covenant, does it? Jesus said, this is the cup of the new covenant in My blood. It doesn't break the covenant. That's just you as an individual. If you're willing to walk and go that way, God says, you're free to choose. It doesn't change the covenant, does it? The blood of Jesus is still there for anyone who would simply say yes. It's just that person who has broken the covenant is put out. The covenant still remains intact. It doesn't change the covenant. Now we read verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Or shall her name be. And I will bless her, and I will give you a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Whoa. Sarah, or Sarai, means princess. But the word Sarah means noble woman. Meaning, kings will come from her. She is a noble, not just a princess now, but a queen, a noble woman. Kings will come from her. He just said to Abraham, now Abraham is 99 years old. Sarah is 89. He just said, Sarah and you are going to have a baby. Did you hear that? Sarah and you will have a baby. Kings will come from you. Kings will come from Sarah. We'll change her name from Sarai, princess, to Sarah, noble woman. Because she's going to have a baby. Oh, my goodness. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? In other words, I'm 99 now. Sarah has a baby. It's going to take 9 months. I'll be 100 years old. And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Don't misunderstand what's going on here. Abraham laughed. The language doesn't mean he laughed in unbelief, like, oh, yeah, right, Sarah, that old woman. I mean, no, he wasn't laughing because I'm 100 and she's not. Yeah, right. You got to be kidding. Funny. No, tell me another one. That's not what the language means. The language literally means, he's laughing because, and I hate to use it this way, but this is what it is, because this is so cool. I mean, he's laughing, thinking, this is cool. I'm 100. I'll be 100. She'll be 90. This is cool. God is good. And he starts laughing, thinking, oh, man, when people see this is going to be a blast. And he just bows down and it strikes him. He's laughing in joy. He's not laughing in disgust. Sarah will later on laugh in disgust, and God's going to talk to her about that and also talk to her husband. Verse 18. Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Okay, let's say it in American. What about my son Ishmael? Come on, guys. He's 13 years old. I know this may be hard for you to imagine, but I really am convinced Abraham loved his son. He's 13 years old. This is a good kid. Abraham loves this boy. Now, God just says, Sarah will have a child, you and Sarah. And so Abram says, what about Ishmael? What will happen to my son? Let him live before you. In other words, what will happen to the guy? How about Ishmael, Lord? You got this promise going, father of many nations. How about Ishmael, my son? Verse 19, and God said, listen closely, everyone, because this also becomes important as you look at the conflict today and the arguments going back and forth. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son. Now, it's not going to be a baby. This is going to be a boy. God's better than ultrasound. He knows. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. In other words, you count on it, Abraham. And you shall call his name Laughter. I mean, it made you laugh. Just enjoy. You're going, this is cool. We're going to have a kid, 100 years old, 99. Man, this is going to go down in the books. And you call him Isaac, Laughter. Oh, and listen. But what about Ishmael? You know, I love him. He's my son. God says, I will establish my covenant with Isaac. Do you see this? Let me read it again. God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Who is the covenant through? Abraham, then Isaac, not Ishmael. Ishmael is a son of Abraham. So when you hear the people today claiming, we are children of Abraham, we're the one. No. No, the truth is that is of the flesh, and the promise is not through Ishmael. The promise, and God says, here's literally what God is saying, because he says, Sarah will have a son, and I will keep the covenant through him. But Lord, what about my son Ishmael? Let him live before you. He's a good kid. He's 13. God says, no. It will be, the covenant will be through the son that you will have. You will name him Isaac, and he will be the one I keep the covenant through. He just said no to Ishmael. You'll be killed for saying those kinds of things in public today, can't you? Because we've got a whole group of peace-loving people who descend from Ishmael, who literally hate the Jews, which God promised. They're going to be fighting the whole time. They're still fighting to this very day. You know, we're looking at almost 4,000 years here, and it hasn't let up, has it? And it seems to get worse as every moment goes by now. You know where we're headed. We're headed for that great day of the Lord. That's what's coming. We're headed for a time when it is so violent that someone will come out with an answer. And that answer will work, or seemingly work, and the whole world will be so thrilled and so, oh man, at ease. They're going to vote this guy president of the earth. They're going to eventually worship this man as God himself. The Bible calls him the beast or the Antichrist or a lot of different names throughout Scripture. That's where the world is headed. Well, God says, no, Sarah, thy wife, verse 19, shall bear thee a son indeed. Thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Notice, it will be not all of Abraham's seed, will it? It will only be Abraham through Isaac. Through, of course, we learn later on, Jacob. There's the seed. And if you would like to go back and read through Luke or read through Matthew in the genealogies, you're going to see the genealogy of Joseph and of Mary. You're going to see Jesus come through the lineage that is not Ishmael at all. I see that the Muslim community has put out a nice advertisement. Have you seen the new advertisement yet? And it's got a cross, and they talk about Jesus. And they quote from the Quran, because it does talk about Jesus, how Mary had the son. And they say, we're trying to live at peace with our Christian family because we see Jesus as a great prophet. I think that's designed to tell us that we ought to be buddies. But if you say to me, I see Jesus as a great prophet, I say to you, that degrades my Lord. If you do not see him as God Almighty, then that is the spirit of Antichrist, 1 John chapter 4. So, you know, ads trying to bring us all together as one big earthly family. We're all going to hold hands, buy the world a Coke, kiss a white kitten. I don't think so. I'm afraid that Christianity will continue and become more and more the enemy of the world. And the world will hate you even more. Jesus said it would be as it's coming on. We were talking about a trip that Pastor Ken Ortiz, when we met yesterday, we were asking him, how did your trip to India go? And he explained that couple of weeks he had there. And he said, the people in India are praying for more persecution upon themselves. He said, in the prayer meeting, they were saying, Lord, bring us. And a bunch of them were just put to death for preaching because the church, the Christian church in India, is literally growing. And he said, I couldn't believe in the prayer meeting. They were saying, please, Lord, bring this, bring more of this same thing upon us. And Ken is thinking, no. Wait, can you wait another week until I get home? And he spoke with him afterwards and in one of their prayer meetings, and they said this, we see that with this persecution, it causes us faith, it causes us strength, and it spreads the gospel even further through our nation. So they're saying, Lord, if that's what it's going to take, then Lord, send it that we might grow and be strong. And I'm thinking, woo, man, glad I was here. God says, and as for Ishmael, I've heard thee, verse 20. Behold, I have blessed him, will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. I know he's your son. I know you love him. I will bless him. Didn't Ishmael, who is the father of the Arabs, become a great nation? I mean, aren't they? Isn't it a big place, a big nation? Aren't they spread out all over the place? Look at verse 21. But, and you can underline that if you like, my covenant will I establish with Isaac. There can be no misunderstanding, no misinterpretation, no way to get it confused. The covenant, the everlasting covenant, the land belongs to the children of Abraham through Isaac. The covenant belongs through the children of Abraham through Isaac. The promise belongs through the children of Abraham through Isaac, not through Ishmael. There is no way to explain it the other way. Therefore, they will never live at peace with one another. My covenant will I establish, verse 21, with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. I've heard your prayer for Ishmael. I'll bless him. But I will not establish my covenant with him. I will establish my covenant with Isaac, which your wife Sarah will bear next year. You can count on this, God says. I am El Shaddai, the all-powerful Lord God. You'll be 100. Your wife, she'll be 90. And God says, listen closely, and I will do it. It's going to happen. Because God said, I will do it. I will establish my covenant. Your wife will bear next year. I'll do it. I think God can do it. What do you think? I think he can. Not just because I've read it, but I think he can do it. I believe our God can do anything. Abraham will be 100. Sarah will be 90. Oh my goodness. Verse 22 says, and he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. I think verse 22 is also key in my own life. sometimes we're reading through the Bible and we'll read this verse and you say, well, why did he put that in there? So they were done. And so God left. Oh, great. I mean, why put that in there? Why does God waste time? It's not a waste of time. Watch this. God was finished. I promised you, this is what will be. Your wife will have a son next year. You'll name him Isaac. I will do it. There's no need in fighting with me about it. There is no need. And so, are you kidding? I mean, you sure next year? Next year's not that great a year. I heard the weather people say, going to be a heavier winter than you. You know what? This is what God has spoken. This is what God has promised. This is what God is going to do. You can say it can't be done. You can say there's no way. It's impossible. Inconceivable. God simply says this. I'll do it. That's all there is to it. There are times in prayer, and you know it, there are times in prayer when God says no, doesn't he? I know you've heard him probably pretty clear. He says no. When he says no, he knows just what he's talking about. He knows why. And in faith, we can trust him. Just trust him and move on. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't whine. Don't complain. Don't try to make it happen when God has already said, no, we don't want that direction. But that's a good direction. You're missing a really good sales opportunity. We got to go this way. No. This is what I will do. Yeah, but, come on. Man. Trust and obey, Abraham. You just walk in faith. Now, it's going to be a little time from now. Jesus is going to show up and sit and have lunch with Abraham. And they'll talk about this kind of thing again. Verse 23 says, Abraham took Ishmael his son and all that were born in his house and all that were bought with his money. Every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God said unto him. In other words, the very day God said, do it, he got up and he did it. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Ishmael, his son, was 13 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael, his son, both in the same day. And all the men of his house born in the house and bought with money of the stranger were circumcised with him. He obeyed the Lord. Not to make the covenant. The covenant had already been made. He got up and he obeyed the Lord. The badge of the covenant with Abraham, with the Lord. Abraham and those of his household were circumcised to show what God had already promised. Notice again as we close it, simple faith. To recognize that the promise was given already. You and I walk in simple faith in Jesus Christ. We don't walk every day trying to get salvation. But because he already saved our lives. He's given to us freely eternal life. All of us. And so now we ask for the heart and the courage and the humility and the strength and any of the things that we need. We say, Lord, give us what we need to do your will, to do the things that are right in your eyes, to just walk with you. Why? So I can get saved? No, because you have saved my life. To do good works by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to see that Sarah will have a baby. And it will be a boy. And she says, when she has that baby at 99 years old, she says, I laughed so loud that those that hear me laugh with me. You know how laughter is contagious? And you see somebody really laughing, and soon you're laughing. And that's what Sarah says. I laughed so hard that everyone around laughed with me. They named that little baby Isaac, which means laughter. And the covenant, the everlasting covenant, the promise, is not through Ishmael. God says, no, I'll bless him. But it will be through the son from you and Sarah named Isaac. And that's where the blessings and the promises will come through. Let's bow our heads together.